Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
For us is an important part of who we are at Living Waters. It always has been. The narrative, the story of how Jesus works in our lives, and it really is how we express ourselves as a community, is through story. It's God's story in us. So through LifeShare, what we'll be doing over the next number of weeks are really three principles that we'll be, I think, seeing demonstrated. Number one is community. We think community is important, that place where we can gather and we can be cared for and we can care for others. Like, that's huge for us. It's doing life together. That's what God calls us to. And through story, we learn a little bit more about each other, which I think is pretty awesome. Another value that we have here is authenticity, and that's just being real. It is being who we are, without having to show up here and pretend that we're somebody that we're not. Sometimes we get this sense that somehow in Christianity we got to put on the front. Well, that's just garbage. It's not true. We just need to be who we are. And so when we're authentic, we can share a story in that way. Just be very exposed to one another. And that can actually encourage us because we see others around us just like us going through the same struggles. And I think the third thing that we hope is accomplished through LifeShare over these next few weeks is that we will point to Jesus, that every story somehow is going to point to Jesus, because Jesus is the one that restores. Jesus is the one that brings us hope. Jesus is your hope, and Jesus is my hope. And even if you've come here today and you don't know that for sure, I think you're going to hear a story that's going to remind you that that is actually the truth. He is there for you. So we've asked a number of people within our community to share a story over the next number of weeks, and they're just an eclectic group of people who will share their story with us. Harold and Valerie Swatsky have been with us at Living Waters now for the last 8 months or so, and we're so glad that you guys are here. So they've come, and not only have they come, but they brought their family with them. There's like this whole tribe that has arrived at Living Waters, and we really felt the presence and their difference here. It's a great, great family, and Harold and Valerie really have a great, great story that they want to share with us. It's a hard one, but it's an important one that we hear. So Harold, why don't you come up and let's give Harold a good welcome, everybody.
Isaiah 30, verse 20 says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet you will hear the voice of your teacher behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the left and when you turn to the right." Valerie and I have been just blessed beyond words by those kids. 8 of them were given to us, and that's a story I could talk about for a day. All the in-laws, 5 grandchildren, 3 more on the way. They live 20 minutes away from our place. And so Sunday lunch is our ritual at our place, that's what we were doing 2 years ago, almost to the day this month, having Easter lunch together, like we do. By the way, I can't get enough of them, eh? Naomi and Tyler in the middle, it's their wedding. They're over here. And then all the rest of them, I won't speak their name. And then there's Stephen. Stephen on the worship team, and Stephen's wife, Diana, and their child, Sally. Stephen wasn't feeling good this particular day, and Diana had already gone ahead of him to a vacation home in Palm Desert, and doctor said, "You better just wait it out." And so 3 of us went after church to pray for him, and it didn't look good. Doctor called and said he should probably go to emergency. So I took him there, that's where we heard the word that would change our lives forever: leukemia. rushed him to Vancouver General. In 15 minutes, the ambulance was on the way. This thing can kill you in days, if not hours. It's a blood cancer, and it goes from 0 to 60 in no time. And he was in the thick of it. Acute myeloid leukemia. We'd heard stories about this kind of thing, but our family was just so blessed. We never had stuff like this going on. Anyway, he made it through the first week in ICU, and then went to the leukemia ward, and they threw the chemotherapy at him, and the plan was to get him into remission and then have stem cell transplant. Two of his siblings, they're here this morning, were a perfect match. Any one of them would have given their left leg for Stephen. We were optimistic, you know, the chances of beating this thing are better, certainly, if you're young and strong, and Stephen was 32 and healthy. And then there was three prophetic words that came to us from the church almost right away. Good prophetic words that this will not end in death. Like lots of young guys, Stephen was busy living life. You know, he was raised in a Christian home. He'd given his life to the Lord. God wasn't a big deal. But faced with this challenge, he threw himself into a search for the truth. He read and underlined his Bible backwards and forwards. He read through T.L. Osborne's book, Healing the Sick, just a tremendous treatise on healing in the Bible. It shook him. And we couldn't get over the amazing transformation that was happening in him and how it got a hold of him. A young friend of theirs had stopped by the hospital one day, and she saw him crying. And she said, "I'll come back later." And he said, "Oh, it's okay. I always do this when I read the Bible." Often we would wake up in the morning, and he had been wrestling in the night, we could tell, and he'd written on his Facebook page, "Pray for Steve." It's still up, and it's still getting hits to this day. 1,220,000 people around the world praying for him. He would write his honest confessions and his struggle there, and his stand of faith. We grabbed a hold with him and Diana early on, just that all too familiar Lord's Prayer: "Come, kingdom of God, be done, will of God." That was so meaningful to us now. And we prayed that without ceasing. And then the Lord gave me a passage of scripture out of Isaiah 45. "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me." So we did that, the whole lot of us. We believed his word, and we beat on heaven's door, if not on the floor. No complaining. Stephen didn't. He honestly didn't complain. He didn't want to hear anything that didn't have to do with faith. But then came the bad news. He was not in remission. I'll never forget the intersection I was at in Vancouver when he phoned me. So we stepped up prayer. The only thing we knew how to do. And Stephen came to our place that day. There was a prayer meeting scheduled for that night. He wanted to go. He wasn't supposed to go. He wasn't supposed to be in public because of his immunity, but he wanted to go. And as we prayed and then worshiped the Lord, he stood on his chair, arms outstretched, worshiping the Lord. You're a dad and you want a legacy. Man, I had a legacy. I couldn't have been more proud of him. Another round of chemo. More bad news. Seemed if there was two options to be had, two results, his was always the worst. You've brushed up along cancer, you know the routine, blood work, statistics, self-help books, on and on and on. Endless trips to outpatient. Our lives stood still. And then he died. You know, I'm used to crying when I do something bad or I hear something, but this is the new normal. It scarred us. He asked me to get some people together, people of faith, that if it came to this, we would pray for him to be raised from the dead. How do you do that? I spoke at his wedding. I spoke at his funeral. God must have just been a blanket of grace over us in those days. I look back and I don't know, how did we do this? How did we do this? My dad had a stroke that same weekend, and I'm on the phone with him, and I said what I would always say, "Can I pray for you, Dad?" And I heard these words say to me, "A lot of good that does." It felt like a tornado. You see on television, it had come through your village. Everything was just strewn around. We hadn't even contemplated it would go this way. Our full focus was on God healing him. I became haunted with a conversation that Stephen and I had, one of those many trips to the hospital, when I asked him the question, "Stephen, do you want Jesus more than you want your healing?" And I heard the question turned on me. "Harold, do you want Jesus more than you want your son's healing?" Can you believe something you don't understand? Can you see something? Can you embrace something you can't see? Would you follow me down a road that you wouldn't choose to walk? I would much rather testify of Stephen's healing, great testimony of faith. I'd even imagine sharing a pulpit with Stephen, telling people how God comes through, how amazing he is, transforming people's lives. We never would have chosen this ending. So I stood there, I guess maybe strong on the outside, but frozen on the inside. I describe it like a sailboat that's dead in the water, no wind. God had just taken and shaken all of us to the core. Trust me, every one of my kids could stand here and tell their own version of this thing. Or you, those of you that know what this is like. No wind. And then I heard it very quietly at first. Come deeper. Come deeper. Where you wouldn't walk by yourself. Where you wouldn't choose to go. Where I am. Where there's no arguments. It's not even your understanding. Just come deeper. And then he spoke to me out of Proverbs 25:11. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to search it out. He's at his best when he's hiding things. He's at his best in the mystery, where you and I are speechless, where it exceeds our understanding. And I'm at my best when I'm just quietly searching after him, not challenging him, not doubting him, just searching after him. This is holy ground. That's where we were. That's where we are. So like Doug said, 8 months ago, we, wanting the wind to blow again, we came here. For the first few weeks, Valerie and I, we couldn't do anything but just stand in the worship and cry. You're on the worship team, you know, you don't ever know the power of the words you lead us to worship in. And the word, I heard Rick Watts speak, and it just melted my heart, drew me closer as he's begun to heal us. It's been 18 months. There's more chapters to write, but here we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold, Valerie, and family. That's takes a risk to share vulnerably and authentically, but you've taught us well what community is about, what love is about, and what journey is about. It's powerful stuff. So thank you. Thank you so much.